We are going to talk about Emmanuel today. What isn't that sort of surprising after the song we just sang? A subtitle of the sermon might be the idea of He came from heaven to earth to show the way. We sang that today too. Another subtitle would be maybe Hark. What kind of angels? Herald angels. I didn't know that. I've heard of, you know, some of the Michael and Gabriel, but there's an angel named Herald. That was good. That was good, right? The herald angels, because they have something to say, right? They had something to say. And what they were going to say was about this Emmanuel guy. And we're going to talk about who was that Emmanuel. So as we go into the larger story, we've talked about this. This is about Emmanuel to the rescue this time. And so Emmanuel is coming to the rescue. We started out talking about creation in the larger story, and we talked about then rebellion, because we are rebels in here, rebellious. And then we're talking about the rescue, God's rescue. And so today we're going to focus on this concept of Emmanuel. Now, I just got back from the Bronx, New York, and I was up there visiting Sarah and a house on Beekman. And just, wouldn't you know, the Barnetts would show up. And so they came from Manhattan down to the Bronx on Wednesday, and they're going to buy all the staff lunch here in the Bronx. And Steve, for weeks ahead of time, had been a little bit tense about the subway ride. And if I'm saying a little bit tense, that's kind of like way understated, right? Steve is, let's go ahead and admit it, freaking out about the ride on the subway. But he got some good advice, I think it was from Alan, and he got a map. Right? And he saw the map, and that just gave him a little peace of mind. But then, not only did he have a map, because those of us who have been before know a map is kind of helpful, but there's a moment where there's where I'm at, it ain't on this map, right? You're thinking, where am I? And so the big fear is I'm going to get lost, I'm going to miss my train, I'm going to be on the wrong place, I'm going to end up in New Jersey. You got all these things going on in your head. And so what happened, though, Sarah said, I'll come meet you, right? And then they had their tour, and it was great. I'm going to say some other things about that, too, maybe. It was great. All of you who've been there to a house on Beekman, your first time, you know, it's that great seeing what it's really like, and that's what the Barnetts got to experience, and it was great. But then they're going back to the subway to go back home, and they go off again with Sarah, and it was cute, you know. Here's Steve and Vicky and Sarah walking down the street, and then we find Vicky's cane. She left it, so I'm running down the street chasing her with that. But give them the cane. They get there, and when they get to the subway station, It's closed. And so now you think about that. If they just had their map, I don't know what they would have done. You know, it's like freaking out time already. Like, now I know I should have been afraid. You know, all of his fears would have been confirmed. But they didn't. They had Sarah. And Sarah could tell them then what to do. So the point, one of the major points of our sermon today is this. A map is good, but a guide is better, right? A guide is better. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. That's it. And it's going to be this rescue we're going to talk about in a little while, where it's not just being a tour guide. It's going to be a rescue. I'm going to end up comparing, you know, Jesus and his rescue to like Navy SEALs coming to get kidnapped us, okay? But I'm going to read in the Bible here just a minute. We're going to remember that here we are in our timeline. We're here in the rescue. We've had these other things happening. But back in time, there was this rescue plan. And the rescue began, and it was, Bob called it C.S. Lewis, Aslan on the move. But it's the story of Abraham. He's coming. God's got a plan. And then Moses, he's coming. God's got a plan. He's rescuing people as he goes. All the prophets are coming. God's got a plan. But it's going to come when Jesus comes. But now we've talked about this one is greater than three principle. So this is a kind of fundamental principle. And if you've forgotten this or you weren't here when we talked about this, one verse is greater than three. This is in our math equation. You think we're messed up here in our math, but not really. What we're talking about is chapter one of the Bible is about what? Creation. Chapter three is about the fall. And the fall is bad. Look at us. We're all going to die. Everyone here is going to die. Why? What happened in chapter three, right? That's what's happened. And the fall has so many other ramifications that are terrible. And sometimes we get overwhelmed by the power of the fall. But what this is to remind us of, the power of creation is greater than the power of the fall, right? God's creative power is going to win because it's greater than anything that happened in the fall. And then we have this John chapter 1 Christmas story. Now, John's gospel is really different than the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are all different than John in a lot of different ways. And Mark has a very, Jesus showed up one day kind of beginning. But Luke and Matthew, they go into the Christmas story. Well, John has a different version of the Christmas story, and we're going to read that today. Because this has a lot to do with why we even need rescue, and then again, the power of the rescue and the one who's going to rescue us. So in John chapter 1, if you've got a Bible, we're going to read this. And we're thinking about these things. God loves and He creates. Human beings, whew, we have gotten ourselves in a mess. Would you say that human beings have gotten themselves in a mess? Yes, we're in a mess. And we feel it in our family, we feel it in our country, we feel it all over the world. We're in a mess. But God's not willing to leave us in the mess. His creation power is still at work. So here we go in John's way of telling this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now in a minute you're going to figure out that John's using this word, that sounds weird. He's using the four-letter word W-O-R-D to mean Jesus, right? Okay, so nod yes. We know he's saying in the beginning was the Word, but he's meaning Jesus. Okay, in the beginning was Jesus. I'm just going to read it that way. It's the NIV Bob version. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning, and through Jesus, all things were made. And without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all people. And this is where we get to in the creation story at the end, and Jesus and God says, it's good, it's good, it's very good. He was the light of all people, but, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Now, what about that darkness? Darkness showed up. I want you to think about this in your life. I love our church. And one of the reasons I love our church is because we have children in our church who get to play in the front row right during worship time. It is awesome. I love our kids. But sometimes, you remember that time when all of a sudden life wasn't cool anymore or fun? I don't know. You probably have forgotten that. It's been so long ago. It's what happens when you grow up and suddenly the world's a mess. And their darkness comes into your life too. We all are victims of the darkness, right? We felt the darkness. We live often in the darkness. Sometimes it's cancer. Sometimes it's divorce. Sometimes it's abuse. It's failure of every kind. There's the darkness. And so John's saying here, but the light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. Yeah, that's good news, man. So verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And you hear it in the background. Hark, the herald angels sing. The light was coming into the world. Jesus was showing up. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, Jesus, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own didn't receive him. But to those who did receive him, here we go. Hang on, everybody. To those who did receive him, raise your hand if you're one of those. To those who did receive him, woo! They received the right to become children of God. That's us. Born not of natural descent or human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And then it says, the Word became flesh, or Jesus became flesh. Like we like to use the Message version around here, and moved into the neighborhood. This is where we live and where we are today. Now, a lot of us have experienced the darkness, and yet we've experienced in our lives the light that has not been overcome. And in each one of us, we have a story to tell about that. We all have a story about that. Kimberly has her story, right? And Jeremy has a story, and Amanda has her story. I'm encouraging everybody to tell their story. And I told you a couple weeks ago how great it was when Isaac and I got to sit down and share our story. Well, today, Pam is going to come, and she's going to share her story for all of us. And it's the story of rescue. Like all of our stories are, it's a story of the light has not been overcome by the darkness. So Pam's coming up, and she's going to talk for a minute. And here we go. Let's say give it up for Pam. Woo!
Later, there's a divorce. If I'd have killed him, my family would have forgiven me. but I didn't. I divorced him. So there is no forgiveness for that. Then we move on, keep plugging along. And then I meet my best friend, the love of my life, had 28 years with my husband. He dies. 6 months later, Shelby, my granddaughter, my oldest, I have several, Shelby 22, my youngest is 5. Anyway, her father dies. She wants to come to church because church, she's been there a few times and it's a safe place. Well, I've done 630, so I'm on, you're talking about Subway, I'm on the bullet train to hell. Okay, the Subway's moving way too slow for me. I mean, I'm gone. I'm there. And so, you know, life is just a blur to me because I already know where I'm headed. So she is only 15. She still has a chance. So it's odd, though. This is the way God works. She doesn't go to her great-grandmother to go to church. You know, number four. She doesn't go to her. No, she goes way down to the other end of the spectrum down there. Grandma, can you take me? Well, I can. Anyway, I guess I will, so should. So I do. Well, she has a friend, Nikki. Shelby does. She has a friend, Nikki. Now, I look, as an outsider, I'm looking, Shelby's family is dysfunctional. Nikki's family is like dysfunctional on steroids, from my point of view. So, anyway, Nikki says, go to my church. Well, I'm like thinking, okay. So we've all heard this story, but here's the thing you didn't hear. She says her church is in Pantego. That's interesting. I was born and raised there. Was actually born in St. Joe, but you get the idea. 3 days later, I was here. Okay, where is this church? What's on the corner of Graves and Raper? Well, it's getting better all the time. It's a warehouse. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with this Graves and Raper Street, so did you know some major cross streets? She says, get right here on 303, just go down there to Smithberry and turn. At that point, have you ever had these moments in life where the wind just, it's just knocked out of you, and you just go off, everything goes silent, and you just go off to, you don't know where you've gone, you're just off there? Next thing I hear, Shelby, Grandma, can we go? Please, can we go to Nikki's church? And I'm like, okay, whatever. Because I'm still trying to get back. Because I think I'm talking to the man that I hadn't talked to him about 35 years ago. What do you think you're doing? This is not even. I see this coming. Okay, so it's on Smithberry. Really, that's really interesting. My address for my whole life is 3105 Smithberry Lane, Antigo, Texas. And you're going to tell me some 40 years later, I'm going to go to church in Pantega on Smithberry Drive? Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is going to be good. Okay. So we come to church, and it's good one time for Shelby. And I already told the Lord and the devil, because I didn't know which one of them was messing with me. So I told both of them, I don't know which one's doing this, but we're going one time for Shelby. I ain't got nothing to do with neither one of y'all. And we came for one time. And here's how God works. That one time I came here, I had it all planned out. I knew they was messing with me. Sarah Netter came that first Sunday. It was her first Sunday here. Yeah, God will sneak up on you if you're not careful. So she introduced herself to me, talked to me. Sarah is now my accountability partner and has been. She is my best friend. She knows all of my story in detail, okay? So, fast forward several years later, we're still here, several years later, we do a study in Sunday school on David. Now, you know what I know about David. David killed the giant. That's about it. That's about all he did. I found out he killed a bear and a lion, too, but I didn't know about that. I just knew about the giant. Luke's laughing at me. Anyway, he killed more than just a giant, but I didn't know that. And then he did some other stuff, but I'm not going there, okay? So, every Sunday I would come to Art Cross and would read another chapter about David. I wouldn't go home and read ahead. Oh, no, God invited. No. I'd wait till we come back to Sunday school and get another chapter. And I look over at my friend Sarah. especially when David met Bathsheba. I look over at Sarah, and I take a deep breath, and she's just like, oh. You know, she's over there making faces. You know. Well, anyway, sometimes I just want to, anyway. But anyway, so Sarah, though, has kept me, you'll see her sometimes, people be talking to Sunday school children over and go, you know, I take my cues from, she keeps me straight over there, but God put her here the first Sunday I came here. That's not coincidence, that's God. God put her here when I came, and then I came back, and we started a friendship, and I kept coming back, and she's my best friend. And Beth calls this the car wash. I call it a rescue ship.
Amen.
Because once you know about David, hey, he was a man after God's own heart. Well, you can imagine that my bullet train stopped. And I was glad. I was like, okay, well, wait, stop. Is there a U-turn? Someplace we can turn around. There is. There's always a place you can turn around.
Amen.
There's always a U-turn you can make. And I did that. And then I got baptized. And the day I got baptized, Sarah was holding my hand right there. And this church rescued me.
Amen.
And that's my story.
Wow. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. And we're thankful for what he's done and what he's continuing to do. Now, the thing about Pam's story, it's unique and yet it isn't. Right? We all have a different story, but we all have similar story. Here we go. We're going to dive into the text for just a minute. This is about he came from heaven to earth to show the way. So God sent Emmanuel to rescue his children. Now, one of the Emmanuel's other names, which you won't find this in Scripture, but it's Sarah Metter. That's one of Emmanuel's names. Right? You know that. And that's where we're going with this, really, all the way. And like the announcements we made earlier, Brad, about Brad's party, he's not here to hear all that and his prayer requests. And Sarah's not here to hear all the things we're talking about her. Thank goodness, because she might not be appreciating everything we're going to say. But here's the story in the New Testament. It's in Matthew. Okay? So if you got a Bible, or just trust me, either way, Matthew 1. It's the Matthew version of the Christmas story. And this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about, it says in the Bible. His mother Mary was pledged to be Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Now this is, some could fit into Pam's story. We're thinking she's a pregnant woman who's not married. But then the craziest part of the story is she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. What? Okay. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her privately, which is still going to be a bad thing for Mary. You know what I'm saying? How's that going to look? Like Pam said, and several of us people who have had this experience, if you murder someone, you might get forgiven for that. But when you divorce them, no. So she's about to be thrown away, really. One way or another, she's in bad shape. But here's what happened. After Joseph had discovered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure Joseph said, oh, right. Right? How does that work out? But the angel keeps going. He says, she's going to give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save, he's going to rescue his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. So you're going to say it out loud. Emmanuel means God with us. And on the day that Pam walked in, the first day she came with Shelby, God with us looked a lot like Sarah met her. Right? And all of you got somebody like that in your mind, don't you? Okay, we're going to come back to that in a second. So the question, though, I want you to think about this. Have you ever been lost? Well, I've been lost a lot of times. There were many times I was driving to try to find the church here in the warehouse on the Raper and what? What a name of a street anyway. So, and I'm lost. And I need my GPS. I get a little GPS on my phone, you know. I'm not fancy enough of a car to have one, and I can find my way. But that's not really the kind of lost we're talking about. It's more like this. It's more like kidnapped. It's more like imprisoned. It's more like tortured. I want you to get an idea of a vision of lost. I'm going to try to explain this to you. I want you to imagine that you have been kidnapped by ISIS. Okay? That's what I want you to have in your mind. This is the kidnapping. This is the lostness that we experience when we are lost in sin. We are lost in the worst kind of way possible, that Satan has captured our heart. He's captured our body and our soul. He's captured us. And some of us find ourselves in things we just can't hardly get out of, in circumstances, in habits. Okay, and we just can't hardly, and we are lost, but not just we can't find our way, we're lost, we need somebody to rescue us. I want you to imagine that you're down in an underground tunnel system that's like a maze. It's a dungeon, and you are strapped, you are taped to a chair, and your bare feet are in the water, and they're throwing the electricity on that, and you're being tortured. Can you imagine that? No, you can't even imagine that, really. You can't imagine that kind of agony and suffering, but you know, in different ways, you've already experienced it. You've experienced some agony and some suffering, and you're thinking, was I created? Was I born for this? And so you're down in that dungeon, and what's going to happen is you can't get out. You're stuck. I don't care if you obey all 629 or 30 of them. Even if you're stuck, there's something that's grabbed you. It's the darkness. That's what John called it, the darkness. And it's taken over your life. And it comes and goes for some of us. Yeah, and then you kind of ramp up and you fake it's good. Man, how many of you have faked good before in your life? Have I just faked it? Put on your happy face, your church face, and I'm going to come and I'm going to be with the people. And you do it at work, and you do it with your family, and you do it at holidays. But you know something deep, it's not right. And so we're in this situation, and so Jesus walks in, and he is Emmanuel, you know. He was named that from birth. And now he's 30 years old, and he walks into his own synagogue in his own hometown, where he was the boy who was born by that woman in that real kind of weird situation because we didn't know how he got there. And here's what he says. He says, the Spirit, he's reading the scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Now he's quoting a scripture from Isaiah 61, which says he's come to set the captives free. So when you think of Jesus in the manger, you know, with the little donkeys and cows and mooing and the angels and the wise men with their gifts, that's okay to think of. That's kind of true. I don't know if we really have a good version of what that place looked like. Probably smelled different than what we think. But I want you to put this other picture. There's a spiritual battle going on here. And it looks a lot more like Navy SEALs. That's who's coming to get you. That's who's coming to rescue you. You're trapped in the dungeon. You got your feet in the water and your hands and ankles are taped to the chair and they're electrocuting you. And you can't get out. And the Navy SEALs are coming to rescue you. And they kick down the door. Now, you remember that song I made us listen to a couple weeks ago, Reckless Love? Whoops, I'm losing it. I'm going to need this Bible in a minute. And so here's the lyrics of that song. It says, no shadow you won't light up. This is we're talking to God. No shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up coming after me. This is God. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down coming after me. God is coming after you like a warrior. He's coming after you like a warrior because you're in prison and you're being tortured. And some of that torture is your own stupid fault. Some of it has nothing to do with you. Right? What are we going to do? Well, then, what God doesn't do, he just doesn't walk in and says, okay, look, I'll unchain you and now you get out by yourself. It's not that kind of rescue. You're down in this maze. You're in this tunnel. You don't know where you are. You've been set free. Your jail, your prison cell has been unlocked, but you don't even know how to get to the stinking subway, much less how to get out of this prison that you're in. Right? So the Navy SEAL Jesus, I want you to get the Navy SEAL version in your head. He grabs you by the hand and he says, stay right behind me. We're going to get out of here. Right? All this thing Pam talked about, her relationship with Sarah, it didn't happen on that first Sunday. Right? It happened living a lifetime of this. And so the Navy SEALs have come to get you. But the question is, who are they? Who are they? Okay, we're pretty sure Jesus is involved there. But is that it? So all of Isaiah, this Emmanuel deal started in Isaiah 7. And so in Isaiah 7, he's telling a story. And all the other prophets too, all through Isaiah, all through the other prophets, there's always the story. There's going to be somebody going to come rescue you. There's going to be somebody come rescue you. There's going to be a day when somebody comes to rescue you. Well, who is that? Okay, so in Isaiah 7, in the context of the story, Isaiah the prophet, he's talking to Ahaz the king, who is an idiot. Okay, just trust me. I know you probably hadn't read Isaiah 7 and 8 lately, but Ahaz is a knucklehead. God says, please, Ahaz, let me help you. He says, no, I don't want to bother you. I think I'll make a treaty with the Assyrians. And sure, he says, don't do that. God says, don't do that. Trust me. I'll deliver you. He says, I don't know about God. I don't want to bother you. I'm going to go to the Assyrians. So he makes a treaty with the Assyrians, and they end up killing him, right? Because he's the wrong dude. So he's saying, look, Isaiah says, someday Emmanuel's coming, and he is going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be the Wonderful Counselor. And his name, for them, it wasn't Jesus, you know. It was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah came and rescued them and fought and defeated the Assyrians because he trusted God. So for them, it was Hezekiah. But for Matthew, in Matthew, it's definitely Jesus. So in your paper here, I want you to write on your paper right there, you're going to say Isaiah 7, it's Hezekiah. Write down Hezekiah. That's who Emmanuel was. In Matthew 1, it's Jesus. So now then, back up to Luke 4. Remember, Luke 4, Jesus says, I have come to do this, to rescue the captives. And so it's Jesus. But in Isaiah 61, I want to read Isaiah 61 to you. It's a little bit confusing, and people have debated with this, but here's what Jesus is quoting in his hometown synagogue in Luke 4. He's saying this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. So the Jews in that day, they're wondering, who is the me? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Is he talking about himself, the prophet Isaiah? Here's what he says. The Lord has anointed me to do these things. Proclaim good news to the poor. He's anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. Think about that. Bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus is quoting this. And when Jesus says it, that's me. I am that guy. And here, Isaiah is not saying, no, it's him. He's saying it's us. It's the people of God. Okay, think about that. Who are the ones who are going to proclaim good news to the poor? The people of God. Okay, now you're going to say that with me. People of God. Who are the ones who are going to bind up the brokenhearted? Right? It's us. We're going to bind up the brokenhearted. Have any of you ever had the honor of sitting with someone as God through you bound up their broken heart? Yes. You've done that? You've had that happen to you. Where you're sitting across the... When does all this binding... Or how about this? Proclaiming release for the captives. Well, when does this happen? Well, it happens all the time. Happens out in the parking lot. It's when we share our stories with each other. It happens at the coffee shop. You're sitting across the table from each other. And one of you, in your story, there's a story of a lost child. Or there's a story of a lost spouse. And it could be all kinds of losing. It's a story of a lost job, which meant a lost career and a broken dream. Some of us sit across the table and we share our broken heart because we have a chronic illness or a critical illness. We have a betrayal of a friend that's broken our heart. Or sometimes it's the consequences of our own stupid rebellion. And we become addicts. We're suffering the consequences of stupid choices. How many of you are suffering consequences of bad choices? Yeah, we're suffering. And some of those consequences are going to last the rest of your life. Rest of your life. And what you need, someone to rescue you. Come by and take you by the hand. Say, look, I know the enemy is kicking your tail, but we're going to get out of here. And so sometimes that happens at Burger Street. Like it happened to me a couple weeks ago. Somebody sat across the table from me and just spoke truth into me. Because God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And He's with us in several ways. One, He's with us right here. He's with us with the Holy Spirit that He's put into your spirit. His Spirit speaking to you. God is with us. And another way He's with us is by your partner. And when I mean your partner, I mean everybody in this room. You know, we do a thing at the beginning where Jeanette tells us to get up and talk to the person next to you. What you're doing is you're saying, hey, Emmanuel, we're experiencing the God with us in that moment, right? And as we continue to live life together and breathe life into each other, we remind ourselves that the light has come into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. That He has set us free and the chains that we wore are gone. And we're free to walk and live life together. And sometimes I need a guide, not a map. And the guide that God sends me is you. You're the guide that God sends to me to help me walk out of slavery to my past, to slavery, to my burdens. You're helping me walk out of that, and I'm helping you. We're going to sing a song called God With Us, a Mercy Me song, and I want you to hear the lyric in this song. And at the end, and Jeanette's already pointed it out, the idea is that we're going to bring God our praise, but even when we bring Him all we got, all of our heart, all of our singing, all of our prayers, all of our service, it's just a tiny offering compared to what He's done for us. He set us free. He's given us life. He's overcome the darkness. Let's sing together.